Social workers and therapists are there for those who are struggling. But what happens when the very ones who provide support start to feel burned out? From WHYY's Behavioral Health Desk, Anne Hoffman reports on the challenge of helping caregivers before they quit.
A therapist named Karen, who asked not to use her last name, recently noticed big changes in herself. She's worked with tough cases, everything from abused children to patients with drug addictions.
Before, I always kind of prided myself being pretty, like, on top of things, you know? Like, I was very structured in my everyday life. If I wanted to do something, I would, like, do it.
But then, after seeing the same patients come back through a program again and again and not getting support from her job, Karen started questioning what good she was doing. She says she felt stuck in a toxic cycle where she worked.
I just started to feel like a cog in the wheel. Like, the patients feel like they're not getting adequate care, and, like, the staff feels like they're not getting adequate care from the people, you know, the higher-ups. And the higher-ups are like, well, we don't have enough, and we need to remember that we're trying to make a profit here.
Soon, Karen wasn't sleeping well, even after taking an Ambien or some melatonin, sometimes both. During her waking hours, she started to feel like she was on autopilot.
I just started, like, coming home every day and just sitting on the couch and, like, sometimes not even, like, watching TV or reading. I just, like, sit there, or, like, I would start crying out of nowhere.
A social worker named Joanna, who also didn't want to use her last name, has a similar story.
On days when I would come home being burnt out already, I would have to go to bed at like 8 o'clock at night because I just had nothing left.
She also struggled with feeling like she had to be on all the time.
I wasn't good at turning my phone off at 5 o'clock. I wasn't good at seeing the phone ring and being able to just say, you know what? Somebody else is on call. They can handle it. I would jump to, and I would let that encroach on my personal time that I could have been spent doing self-care and taking care of myself.
Both women expressed feeling so down that it was hard to think it could get better.
I was finding that not doing any kind of self-care, I couldn't figure out what I needed. And because I couldn't figure out what I needed, I didn't try to ask for help. And so it was a really scary place to be in.
I think, like, the hardest thing about burnout is, like, that sense of, like, what you believe about the world is, like, shifted. You become this, like, very bitter person who, like, thinks that, like, the world is, like, inherently evil and bad.
Ida Kaufman, a field director at the Master of Social Work program at Penn School of Social Policy and Practice, says that's one of the hallmarks of vicarious trauma.
If you're listening to stories of trauma all day, every day, or you're exposed to communities where the impact of trauma is really front and center, after a while, the way the brain and the body works is you internalize some of those experiences, and you begin to react as if you have been traumatized yourself.
Kaufman also prefers to talk about compassion fatigue more than burnout. She says compassion fatigue isn't something that can be cured with a relaxing trip to wine country. She says it carries a host of physical problems like stomach issues and insomnia.
It really can, after a while, just be untenable. Either people kind of check out as a way of coping, or sometimes they're really smart and they do leave their job. Other times, they just sort of power through it. And then it looks kind of like what we would call someone who's pretty jaded.
She tells social workers to think deeply about self-care. And she's not talking about getting a manicure on a Sunday afternoon.
I always say, listen, I am not going to be the person who's going to stand up here and talk about bubble bath.
She talks about it in three ways. One, self-care related to one's personal life. Two, self-care related to one's job. And three, self-care on the agency level, meaning what is someone's agency doing to promote an environment that avoids burnout? Laura Krawchuk runs retreats for professionals in the helping field. She's also a social worker. She says that third area can be tricky.
The big X factor that we can't control for is that organizations sometimes aren't healthy. Sometimes the budget means that the workload is overwhelming.
She says healthcare in general has become increasingly stressful. Sometimes her retreat offers vital solace for people to go back and do their work. And sometimes a retreat isn't enough.
Other people realize I am in the wrong place. I need a change.
A year ago, Karen decided she needed to get out.
When I just, like, was in such a bad mood that, like, I just was, like, scowling all day. And, like, in my groups, it just really felt like I was just going through the motions.
She started saving money gradually and recently handed in her resignation. With time and distance, Karen says she realized that she wants to take some time off and eventually transition to a more flexible role. She credits a supportive supervisor with helping her to figure that out. As for Joanna, taking better care of herself has made a difference. Instead of bubble baths, she's nourishing her creativity.
I am in a writing group. I sing in my car, and even if it doesn't sound great, it feels amazing.
And she's adopted stronger boundaries. She used to pick up her phone no matter what.
In the past years, I've managed that a lot better. So the phone goes off.
Now she says it doesn't have to fall just to her. Anne Hoffman, WHYY News.